Now, boys and girls, last time in our lessons in the Word of God, we saw how our Lord Jesus Christ began to gather together those men who were going to be his disciples in a very special sense. You remember that when the Bible speaks about disciples of Jesus, it simply means those who follow Jesus in their lives, those who are learners of Jesus Christ the Lord. But at the same time, there were those particular men who were, in an especial sense, you would say, disciples of the Savior. Those that he called at first to follow him and to go with him in all his journeys and preaching the gospel and doing the work that God, his Father, had given him to do. You remember that when we speak about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, we speak about everything that Jesus is. He is the Son of God, and yet he became man for us. And when we speak about the work of Jesus Christ, then we speak about everything that he does, especially in bringing salvation to men and women and to boys and girls as well. Now, when we think about the work of Jesus that he did while he was in the world, then we usually think about the things that he said and the things that he did. When we think about the things that he said, we think about his preaching, about the parables that he told. And when we think about what he did, then we think about his miracles, the great signs and the great wonders that he performed. Well, having then called these disciples together, then our Lord went forth to do his work, to preach, to tell parables, to tell men and women about God and the way of salvation, the kingdom of God that had now come, and also to do those great works, those miracles, those signs, those wonders that showed that he was the Son of God indeed. Well, he began to do those miracles, and then eventually he came to the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us that when he came to the city of Jerusalem, at the first, Andrew was with him, and John was with him, Simon Peter was with him, Philip was with him, Nathanael was with him. You remember that man that we looked at last time. And it was the feast of the Passover, that time when the children of Israel remembered how God had brought them out of the land of Egypt. You remember way back in the Old Testament, and how God brought them out of the land of Egypt when they slew that lamb and when they sprinkled the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of their houses, and then God delivered them. Well, of course, as John the Baptist has said, you remember when he saw Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus had come to shed his blood. He had come to bring deliverance and salvation to everyone who would believe. Now, boys and girls, you try and imagine how our Lord Jesus Christ might have felt as he had come to Jerusalem at that time of the Feast of the Passover, when the people in Israel were remembering how the blood of that lamb was shed. And in fact, at the Feast of Passover, of course, they still slew those lambs and they still shed the blood of those lambs. You think how our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he was the Lamb of God, that he was to shed his blood for our salvation, you can think then what Jesus might have been thinking about at that feast of the Passover. He knew that in not many years from this time that he too would go and shed his blood for us. Now, the first place, of course, that Jesus went to with his disciples was into the temple. Temple was called the house of God, that great building in the city of Jerusalem. But as the Lord went into the temple, the things that met his eye, they saddened him very much. There were people in the temple and they were buying and they were selling animals for the sacrifice. There were other people and they were exchanging money with others as well. When our Lord Jesus Christ saw that, the Bible tells us, in fact, that Jesus was very angry. Our Lord Jesus Christ is very tender. He is very gracious. He is very loving. But be sure of this, boys and girls, that when our behavior is wrong before God, then God and Christ, they are angry with our sin. That's why we need salvation. That's why we need to be saved from our sin. And when Jesus saw all of those things happening, then he was very angry. Now, there was a sense in that it wouldn't have been wrong for those things to have taken place in the right place and in the right way. See, people needed animals for the sacrifices in the temple. And many of them had come long, long journeys. They didn't bring animals with them. When they came to the temple, then they bought the animals for the sacrifices. And also, they needed money to pay what was called the temple tax. And again, they didn't have the right kind of money to do that, because it was a particular kind of coin that they needed for that temple tax. And the people then who were selling the animals and the people who were exchanging the money, well, they were cheating the people who had come a long distance. Let me give you an illustration. Just imagine you needed to phone your mum or your dad someday down the town, and you needed a 10-pence piece for the phone, and you didn't have a 10-pence piece, but you had a 20-pence piece. Imagine somebody came along and you said to that person, "Can you give me 2 10-pence pieces for this 20-pence? And that person said, "No, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you 1 10-pence piece for your 20-pence piece." You see, that person would be cheating you in that sense. A big word, he would be exploiting you. He would be robbing you, in fact. And so those people who came and needed to buy that money for the temple tax, the money changers, they were charging them double the money in order to give them that coin that they needed. Well, when the Lord saw all that, then the Lord was tremendously angry with what was taking place. And the Bible tells us then that he made a whip out of small cords, and he began to drive the money changers and the people who were selling the animals. He began to drive them right out of the temple altogether. And this is what he said. He said, "My Father's house is to be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a house of merchandise." That simply means you have made it a place of buying and selling. And that's all that they were concerned about, and they were not concerned about the glory of God. When the leaders in Israel saw Jesus doing that, they were very, very angry. And they said, "Who gave you a right to do that? What sign will you show us that you have any right to do that?" And our Lord said a very strange thing. He said, "Look, tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up again." And they all laughed at that. They said, "This temple was 46 years being built, and you mean to say you're going to build it again in 3 days?" But he wasn't speaking about that temple in Jerusalem. Our Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about himself. The Bible calls our bodies, boys and girls, our temples in that sense. And Jesus was saying, "Look, crucify me, destroy me in that sense, and yet after 3 days I will rise again from the dead." They didn't understand that. Not even his disciples understood that at the time. But the Bible says later, when Jesus rose again from the dead, then they understood what it was that he was speaking about that day in the temple. And so right at the beginning of our Lord's ministry, you see, right at the beginning of his work and his preaching, he begins to speak about his cross, but what was going to happen after the cross would come the resurrection of Christ. And boys and girls, if there is one fact that you need to keep in your heart and your mind, it is this: that Jesus Christ is really alive, that he is alive this day, this very moment, and he has promised indeed to be with us when we meet together in his name. And as we worship God today, you keep that in your heart and your mind, that Christ is alive and Christ indeed has promised to be with us. And may we all know that, and then we will have great peace in our hearts and in our souls.